I'd like to propose a toast. I said toast, motherfucker.
We the best music.
Oh, this what we doing here?
Another one.
I might have to put on my jewelry for this one.
Rave talk. Oh, we're talking that rave talk. Safe talk. Here we go, talking that safe talk.
Major key alert.
Oh, we good now.
Major bag alert.
DJ Khaled. Cockroaches.
Free man, bad guy. Play, you know. Come on, it's the cartel.
Yeah. What is good? It's your boy KC, and welcome to another edition, the first edition of the 2017 NFL regular season. KC's Corner, Nana Gang Remix. Time out to listen to your boy. Taking the time out to hear what I got to say. Big ups to all my people. And nothing but Niners. You know, they got your boy syndicated on here. So shout out to them, you know, for hooking your boy up, getting me out here on the airways. Shout out to, you know, all the people at 49ers Royalty, showing love as well. Big ups to them. And, yeah, I'm glad to be here. And you guys know what it is when you come through here, man. You know what it is when you come through KC's Corner.
Put some respect on my name. You understand me? When y'all saying my name, put some respect on.
Please put some respect on the 49ers name, and especially here on 49er Friday. That's what it is, man. I'm going to come to you guys every Friday, get you ready for this game, get you ready for Sunday's opponent, and celebrate Friday, the end of the weekend, the beginning of the weekend, the end of the week, the way it's supposed to be. Talking about 49er football. That's how it should be, man. So every Friday for the rest of the season is now transformed into 49er Friday. And we're going to get this started this week, week one. Carolina coming to the Vi, as my man Paulie Mack would like to call it. But before that, there's a couple of housekeeping things I want to take care of first, a couple of things I want to go over, and we'll get to the game and figure that out. But just got to take care of some business first. So first thing I want to touch on, just a couple of thoughts on the Niners cutting the roster down to 53. And to be honest with you, I mean, there were a couple of surprise cuts, a couple of guys that you maybe didn't expect to get cut. But I didn't have a huge problem with the cuts, you know. I didn't see too much wrong with it. First of all, I'm not exactly sure. Maybe somebody who's listening to this can – you know, tweet me at IMK Diddy or whatever the case may be, and let me know exactly what all this means. But I'm not exactly sure why they did the one giant cut thing this time in general. You know what I mean? I don't understand why they decided to do that as opposed to the two cuts. And then on an even bigger note, I'm not exactly sure why they have to have a 53-man roster in the first place, as opposed to like a 70-man or a 75-man roster. Once again, if anybody knows, please let me know. Get at me at IMK Diddy on the Twitter. You know what I'm saying? Whatever the case may be, but I don't understand it. I tried to think of the rational argument for them to be at 53, as opposed to, like I said, like a 70 or a 75-man. And I don't get it. I mean, number one, you talk about player safety, and it seems like the more hands you have on deck, you think that might help. You know what I mean? That might help, you know, taking down the contact to the head and the collisions and all this other stuff. You would think that would help, right? I would. Also, why should teams have to choose between a sixth wide receiver and a ninth defensive lineman? I mean, what's the point, really? Like, what are we really talking about here? You know what I'm saying? Like it really shouldn't matter. Like, just keep them both. You know what I mean? They keep like 90 guys active on a college football team. Don't really think that makes that much of a difference, you know, in a negative way, to have that many people active or on the roster, whatever the case may be. Why do they do that in the NFL? It's something that's really bothered me, and nobody's been able to really give me an answer. So maybe one of you guys can out there. But I think they should go, like I said, there's not a big difference between, you know, 53, and then you got your practice squad or whatever the case may be. Make the practice squad people available. Be able to keep another 5 to 10 players on your own. And they should move the thing from a 53-man roster to a 70-man roster. I mean, my goodness. Just get the more kids out there. Get the more players out there. I don't know. Maybe I'm thinking too much into it. But anyway, like I was saying before, I didn't have a huge problem with the cuts. I like Jeremy Curley. I like him. He was one of the bright spots of last year. A very good receiver. But I'm not all broken up that he's gone. I just got to be honest about the situation. I'm not all, you know, torn apart that he's gone. Especially with my boy Trent Taylor waiting in the wings. And, you know, that's when people say that's what made him expendable. With Trent Taylor there and able to play that slot position and do some of the things he was able to do, younger and cheaper. With Trent Taylor waiting in the wings, I don't have a problem with Jeremy Curley going. I wish Jeremy the best. He seems like a good dude. He seems like he definitely is a good ball player. Like I said, he was one of the bright spots for us last year. But I'm not all broken up about it. I'm okay with Trent Taylor and going that way. And I think one of the guys, I think it's, is it Bourne? I can't remember if it's Bourne. I think it's Bourne. He's also able to play in the slot. You know what I mean? So, yeah. Like I said, I wish Jeremy Curley the best. I think he got picked up by the Jets. So, you know, it's going to be a tough season for him. But, you know, he's back where he was before in a comfortable place. And I wish him all the best, most definitely. Another cut, you know, from a noticeable guy. Quentin Dial got the axe. Once again, solid player, but it was probably time for a change. You know, Quentin Dial hadn't really broken through and been this dominating player the way a lot of Niner fans thought he would, the way Trent Baalke probably thought he would. And from everything I'm hearing, just the change in the scheme changes everything up, changing the defensive scheme. You know what I mean? It doesn't fit his strengths. So, like I said, it's probably time for a change. I'm not mad at that situation. I know he's gotten picked up. I can't remember exactly where it was to, but I wish him the best as well. He was a solid 49er. Did a lot of good things out there, so no beef whatsoever. Didn't want to see him do well. But it was time to move on. Another surprising one. I shouldn't even say surprising, but notable one. Ahmad Brooks got cut. And once again, it's the same thing. It was probably time to move on and get going with this youth movement. You know what I mean? I mean, that's the direction they seem to be going in. I agree with that direction. And Ahmad Brooks is still a serviceable player. He's still productive out there. But you want to see what you got with Eli Herold. You want to know if this is a guy that we need to keep around. If this is a guy that we need to, you know, we feel like we can build with at that outside linebacker position. Because if not, that's going to be something that we need to look forward to, you know, forward to replacing next year in the offseason. So only way you're going to find that out is if you let him play. See what happens. So it's going to be Eli Harold's position to dominate and make his own. And I like Eli Herold. I have big hopes for him, but he's always hurt. He's hurt every single game. And he's got to show me something. He's got to show me something more than what he's shown so far in his tenure in the league. So I'm not sure if he is that guy, but now he's going to have no excuses. He's going to have all the opportunity in the world to figure it out. So I'm down with that. Real quick on Ahmad Brooks, it was actually a sneaky, super, super productive 49er. I know he had quite a few boneheaded plays. The guy lived off sides, it seemed like. You know, and it was always on the biggest situation, on a third down, you know, on a third and three, they sacked the quarterback, Ahmad Brooks is offsides, something like that, right? But he leaves the 49ers as the third most prolific sacker in franchise history, behind B.Y., Bryant Young, the legend himself, and the other legend, Charles Haley. I mean, that's some crazy company right there, and you got to give a shout-out to Ahmad Brooks. He also had one of the biggest screw jobs in the history of the 49ers in 2013 season. Or was it the 2012 season? 2013 season. You know, we're in New Orleans, and he gets the sack of Drew Brees, and forces the fumble. Patrick Willis recovers. About to be game time. Niners would have won that game. That would have gave them the NFC West and the number one seed, I believe. And that fateful NFC Championship game against the Seattle Seahawks would have been at the stick and not up in Seattle. Had that call going the way it was supposed to, but it was overturned. Ended up losing that game to the Saints. And I don't know if it was on a tiebreaker or just one game overall. They ended up losing the number one seed to Seattle, and we all know where the NFC Championship game and what happened in the NFC Championship game. So, you know, he made some plays, but, it was time to move on. Like I talked about a little bit earlier, they decided to clearly go with the youth movement and a true overhaul of the roster. And why wouldn't they? I mean, let's just be honest. Why wouldn't they? The damn team has won 7 games in 2 years. And almost none of the players from the previous regime, the Trent Baalke regime, the previous players that I picked, that I got these guys on the field and I had them ready, none of them have shown much of anything. None of them have been able to produce. I know I had the ACL picks, and they didn't pan out. So, if that's the case, do what you do, John Lynch. Do what you got to do, bro. You got to overhaul this roster, which is what they've done. By all means, do it. Like I said, they've won 7 games in 2 years. Nothing to be really holding on to like that. If you ain't producing, nothing to really be holding on to like that. I thought it was interesting, one thing they did do, and I thought it was the right call, by essentially redshirting running back Joe Williams. He came in, you know, when we drafted him and everything, the story behind him and Shanahan begging for him and all this other stuff. Came in with real high expectations. And if we're just being truthful, he didn't live up to those expectations at all during training camp and in the preseason. He let somebody like a Matt Breida really take his spot. But at the same time, I didn't want to see him cut or left unprotected on some practice squad stuff. I didn't want to see that. I think the kid can play. All right? I think he has the skill set from everything that I saw of him in Utah. I think he has the skill set to be successful with Shanahan. So if there's a way to kind of let him learn the pro game and get adjusted, I'm all for it. That seems to be what they did. You know, he had the ankle and they put him on IR and and just kind of let him get his mind right, let him get his body right, let him mentally and physically get adjusted to being a pro, and we'll see him in minicamp, man. We'll see him in minicamp and see what he's got in store. So, yeah, I thought the cuts were fair. I thought everything was good. You know, I didn't have any really big complaints. I'm just really anxious to see some of these guys out on the field and see what they can do. Another thing I wanted to touch on real quick, and I was kind of debating on whether I wanted to touch on it or not, if I wanted to talk about it, because, you know, it's week one. It's been a positive offseason. It's been a positive camp, positive preseason. And, you know, I didn't even know if I wanted to go down this road. But you know what? It has to be. It has to speak on. We a family, right? Sometimes the family, we got to talk, and we got to talk in an uncomfortable way, you know, so we can hash out issues, so we can move on as a family. And that's what's going on here, right? So Navarro Bowman, he had a interesting question and answer segment with Eric Branch of the San Francisco Chronicle. And let's just say it had Bo coming off bitter. A little bitter. Had him coming off salty. And dare I say, a little jealous. And I was disappointed to see my man 53 in this light. Look now, before I even go any further, let me first off start by saying, I'm not going to sit here and disrespect the legend that is Navarro Bowman, okay? I'm not going to do it. That's not what I'm here to do. I'm not going to disrespect one of the great 49ers to ever put on that uniform, okay? If there's anybody that deserves, you know, a mulligan, that deserves the opportunity to vent without things being politically correct or comfortable for everybody, if there's anybody who deserves the opportunity to get some things off his chest and have people just say, hey, let it go, look the other way, it's Navarro Bowman. And, you know, as I'm thinking about this, you got him suffering two of the worst injuries a player could have, with the total destruction and devastation of his knee, and then the torn Achilles last year. And having those injuries take away from the truly special player he was at his peak. He was truly a special, special player. He was one of the greats I had ever seen. I can, with all that going down, I can understand him being bitter. It took away his prime. It took away, you know, the best years of his career. So I understand that. But I got to keep it a stack. And like I said, if we're gonna talk as a family, we need to talk as a family and talk the way families should do, open and honest and knowing that the love is still there. I didn't like some of the things Navarro was saying. You know, he was in the article talking about, you know, he threw a little shade, in my opinion, towards Reuben Foster. And how, you know, people were happy about Reuben and excited and things of that nature. And, you know, kind of saying, oh, he's just the new flavor of the month and things of that nature. And they didn't kick him to the curb and forgot about him already. Navarro, we didn't forget about you, bro. We didn't forget about you, man. Come on now. Don't start all that. And I particularly don't like it because you need to be big up in this young fella. We want him to sit at the knee of a Navarro Bowman and learn from him. You know what I'm saying? We don't need you taking shots at the young brother. We don't need you creating any kind of animosity or perceived animosity or anything like that. Come on, Navarro. You're better than that. And I would simply say to Navarro Bowman, what do you think Patrick Willis was saying in 2011 when everybody was treating you the way we're treating Reuben Foster now and asking the question, is Navarro better than Patrick Willis? Is he a better version of Patrick Willis? Patrick didn't, he didn't come out and talk about, you know, you the new flavor of the month and all this other stuff. Come on, don't do that, Navarro. You need to be taking this young brother under your wing, man. That's what we're looking for, man. Don't be like Ray Lewis out here. Don't be jealous out here like Ray Lewis. Don't do that, Navarro. Come on, you better than that. And like it's, like I said, I'm not going to disrespect him. I'm not going to disrespect my man, Navarro. And I understand his frustration and how he could be a little bitter. But I want to see better. You know, and he talked about, you know, how, you know, he's upset about the rumors of Kyle and John possibly trading them. And Kyle called and he didn't pick up the call because he thought it was just going to be a fake courtesy call. And I mean, just a lot of stuff that I didn't like. He talked about he don't trust him yet. And you know what? I'll also say this. Maybe this is just the truth. He didn't give us no cookie cutter answers. He gave us his truth. And I can respect that. But I'd expect a little more out of Navarro. I want a little more out of Navarro. You know what I'm saying? I want him to be, you know, a galvanizing force on this team. Somebody that brings everybody together. Not somebody that, you know, has them looking at a side eye, like what's really going on. You know, he talked about how he was felt disrespected by not being on the top 100 team, top 100 players in the league or whatever. And let me also say this. If Navarro is going to be pissed off and feeling disrespected and have a chip on his shoulder, and he can turn that into production on the field, I'm good. Do that. Use that fire. Use that fire to benefit you, to benefit this team, to show everybody you still got it. Use that. That's what we all want. And if you want to take out however you feel about, you know, how the rest of the league is perceiving you, and you want to take that out on the league, please do that. But like I said, I need Navarro to be a leader out here. And I'm not saying he's not a leader. I'm not saying that. All right? Once again, for the third time, I'm not here to disrespect the legend that is Navarro Bowman. I just don't like the things that were said. And maybe he just got it off his chest now and, you know, he can move on and, it, you know, it's out there. He got it out there. He cleared it up, whatever the case may be, and we can move on. But I want to see Navarro turn that chip on his shoulder, that frustration, that feeling of disrespect. I want him to turn that into something where he gets back to, you know, where he was. He's never going to be how he was. You know, the injuries just took too much of a toll on him. But be that smart leader out there. Be that veteran presence. Help out the Rook. Help him reach the heights that you have reached. And let's do this together as a family, bro. You got me out here like T.O. It's my linebacker. It's my rookie. It's my rookie.
It's my quarterback.
All right? So, yeah, it was interesting, man. I don't think nothing will come of it. Like, it's going to divide the team or nothing like that. But, you know, just want to see some different things, man. We love you, 5'3". All right? We love you. Ain't nobody disrespecting you out here. We love you, bro. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, man, just get back to, you know, taking care of the rest of the league, man. We glad to see you back out there, man, and be that leader for 56. And, yeah, man, let's get this together. Get on the same page. Now that all that is out the way, we got all that out the way. Now it is time to focus on Sunday afternoon from the Vi, from the big Relax Fit, Levi Stadium. The Carolina Panthers come to town. Cam Newton, Kelvin Benjamin, Greg Olsen, Christian McCaffrey, the young homie Short. These dudes are bad, man. These dudes are bad. I know when I first saw the schedule, I looked on there and I said, you know, Niners can get this game. They're at home. Niners can get this game right here. I was feeling real good about it. And as the summer went along, I just started to focus a little bit more on Carolina. And they got weapons everywhere, bro. They got weapons everywhere. And the crazy thing about it, the killer about it is where they're strongest is where the 49ers are weakest. You know, we got the situation in the secondary. Speaking of the secondary, Jimmy Ward probably not going to play week one. And I was one of the guys who was really defending Jimmy Ward, who really want him to make that turn and be that great player that, you know, we drafted him hoping he would be in the first round. But it just ain't going to happen. He's too brittle for the NFL. The guy's made of porcelain. You know what I'm saying? He's made of porcelain, and there's nothing we can do about that at this point. He's too small to be anybody's safety in this league. And he's not athletic, big, fast, strong enough to be a corner in this league. Maybe you think you can stick him at the slot. I don't think he can play the slot corner. He's a solid football player, but he has no real position in the NFL. I'm sorry, that's what it is. And it's only frustrating. I know he's not trying to get hurt, but it's only frustrating because we're relying on this guy. We need him. He's our starting safety, our starting free safety. And we're going up against Cam Newton. And this guy can't stay on the field. So back to what I was saying, now that's one of our weaknesses. That's already one of our weaknesses. Now we don't have a starter. And Jimmy Ward, and they rolling out Benjamin, Funches, Olsen, McCaffrey out of the backfield. Cam has weapons. And pass defense, I think, is going to be one of our clear weaknesses this year. The other weakness we have is on the offensive line, a major weakness for us. And one of the major strengths of the Carolina Panthers is that front seven. So it's a little scary, y'all. It's a little scary how this is going to go down. But I do feel like the Niners are going to come to play. I do feel like they're going to be ready. They ain't no pushovers no more, man. They ain't nobody's pushovers. They're always going to be ready to play. I think they'll be well coached. My boy Young Shanny, you know, y'all know how I feel about Young Shanny. He going to have some things cooked up for that defense. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. I think they got a guy like Reuben Foster who's able to run with Christian McCaffrey. That's going to be a hell of a matchup right there. And we'll see, you know, what Tart or Bo or whoever, what they can do with Greg Olsen. They can make something happen. So there's going to be some matchups where we're going to get at them a little bit. But it's going to be a tough one, man. And like I said, as I've gone along, I have kind of waned a little bit on whether or not they're going to win this game, whether or not they're going to take care of business. My heart is telling me Niners are going to win. My mind in my wallet, like if I had to bet, is telling me I wouldn't put money on the 49ers to win this game. I'm sorry. You guys know I've gone back and forth about this. I've agonized over this. It's been a source of frustration. But I can't do it, man. Carolina's really good. Carolina is really, really good. And I kind of scoffed at the idea of them being some kind of Super Bowl contender. I still don't have them in the Super Bowl, but they're really good. They are really good. Now, the one area I will say that they, you know, can be vulnerable is in that secondary. And if Young is out here calling up them plays like he normally do. I know how to speak English, okay? Like he's calling up them plays like he normally does. We can get something going. we can get something going on these guys. He's going to create mismatches out there and take advantage of them. Hoyer, you hit the open man. We loved what we saw in that third preseason game against Minnesota. You bring more of that, we're going to be good. We got to see that. We got to see that running game get going, and that's like what we talked about with the strength of the Panthers being that front seven going up against the weakness of the 49ers being that offensive line. So they got to get that running game going if they want any kind of a chance. I think they keep it close, though. I think the line is like 5.5 or something like that. I think it's going to be – it may cover. It may cover, but if I had to guess, I'd say maybe a touchdown loss, maybe 10 points, but competitive. Competitive. Maybe they get – you know, they take a 10-point lead late in the fourth quarter to kind of put it away or something like that. But, yeah, I just think Carolina is just a little too much at this point in time for the 49ers. But I do want to see them being competitive. I do want to see them competing against a top team in the league. And who knows, man. This is all I say. Get to the fourth quarter with it being a one-score game, one way or the other, whether we're up one score or whether they're up one score. Get to the fourth quarter with it being a one-score game. I'll take my chances from there. So I'm going to be looking forward to it, man. I'm definitely going to be looking forward to this game. This is intriguing. I want to see what young Shanny is going to cook up for these boys. This is very intriguing. I can't wait, to be honest with you. With that being said, that's all the time. There's all the time for talking is over. Ain't nothing else to say. You know what I mean? It's time to get down on the field, handle business, and let that young Shanny era begin. Yes, sir. I'm gonna be on my Instagram, you know, doing the live video. Not live, not all the way through, but you know, my little Snapchat feature, you know, where I jump in and out and talk about what's going on, what I see, things of that nature. I'm also gonna be on the Twitter at @IMKDiddy. You know, I'm gonna be talking about it then as well. Yeah, man, at @IMKDiddy on the Instagram too, if you guys want to check that out. But it's time, man. The time is here. The young Shanny era is upon us. It's time to get it popping, baby. It's time to get it popping. I can't wait, man. I can't wait. I appreciate you guys taking the time to listen to me. Tell a friend. Tell a friend to tell a friend. It's your boy, Ice Cold. KC. IMKDiddy, whatever y'all want to call me. I'm out here. Y'all be good, man. Birdman, take us up out of here. Peace. Not a gang.
Are y'all finished or y'all done? I ain't got no more talking.